Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What is happening on our roadways? Every day, we're seeing severe reckless driving. Safe Streets advocates call it traffic violence, speeding, weaving in and out of traffic, running red lights and stop signs, using shoulders to skirt traffic slowdowns. And of course, these accidents across the DMV frequently end in severe injury or even death. As we head into the Memorial Day weekend, you can expect more of this and also more enforcement. But should there be a long-term plan? Well, joining me to talk about this are Regina Ali, Public and Government Affairs Manager for AAA, and Colonel Kevin Anderson, Chief of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Regina, good to talk to you again, as always. And Colonel Anderson, thank you so much for joining the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
Regina, let me start with you. We already know, according to AAA, that we're expecting more than 1 million people on the roadways this Memorial weekend in Maryland. Alone, that's in the Washington metro area, I should say, and millions more, obviously, across the country. But from AAA's perspective, what is the biggest concern regarding traffic safety when we have so many more people hitting the roads really starting tomorrow?
Sure, you're right. So, hi, Harold. Thanks so much for having us.
Always,
good
yeah.
evening to your listeners. Nice to talk to you again. So as you mentioned, yeah, so in the DMV region alone, we're expecting more than 1 million travelers over this busy Memorial holiday weekend. About 900,000 of them will be driving. And as you indicated, about 37 million Americans will be driving over this holiday. And what our biggest concern is, I would say at AAA, is I know in Maryland, I know in Virginia, there is no lack for the most part of very good traffic safety laws on the books. I mean, we've expanded the slow down move over law in the state of Maryland. That also just happened in Virginia and will take effect, I believe, July 1, where not only will drivers be required to slow down and move over for our law enforcement officers, our tow truck drivers, our other first responders, but also for motorists who may be disabled at the side of the road with their hazard lights displayed. So there are no lack of good laws. What we are seeing consistently, not only in the DMV, but across the country, is somewhat of, in many cases, a blatant disregard for traffic safety. Sort of this, I know AAA, our Foundation for Traffic Safety, conducts sort of this Traffic Safety Culture Index survey every year. And what we see repeatedly, time and time again, is that someone will say, okay, I recognize that it's dangerous to drink and drive. I recognize it's dangerous to speed. I recognize it's dangerous to text and drive. I recognize it's dangerous for you to do that. But I still admit that I engaged in that same behavior. So we're seeing a lot of this kind of do as I say, not as I do. And just, I would say, probably a blatant disregard for traffic safety, blatant disregard for common courtesy. Unfortunately, I think that extends beyond the roadways in our society these days, but that's what I'm thinking. And certainly Colonel Anderson and his team, his officers on the street, can better address it because they're right on the roads. They're seeing it every day.
You know, Colonel Anderson, I get it all because I commute from the city of Baltimore all the way into the heart of the District of Columbia. So I see it on 95. I see the craziness on 295. I see it on Route 50 coming into the District of Columbia. I see it in Northeast D.C., and I see it in Northwest D.C., and then the reverse coming back. Obviously, this is not a Maryland problem. A Fairfax County a police officer was almost killed because a teenager was speeding and ran into another car that had been stopped by that police officer. We have a woman here in the District of Columbia who is charged with three counts of second-degree murder for allegedly speeding on Rock Creek Parkway. And it just goes on and on. We had six construction workers killed in March on 695. You're very much aware of that. What are you seeing, and why do you believe this is happening?
So, yeah, we're seeing the exact same thing that other folks such as yourself and other citizens across not only Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware in the district are seeing. So concerning, it's so obvious. And from my experience, what I think we're seeing, we had a pandemic that occurred. A lot of us saw that before the pandemic, but I almost think that people thought that ease came during the pandemic because we had less people out traveling, less vehicles, miles traveled, and they felt a sense of almost more freedom. Let's get out and just do these things. And then it became a disregard for those traffic laws, which Regina nailed it. We have tremendous laws from our legislature on the books, all those states and certainly the District of Columbia. So we're not short there. Enforcement. Police officers out engaged doing that enforcement is key as well. But I really think it's just that disregard, remembering that when you get behind the wheel of a car, you are operating a machine that is, on average, 3,000 pounds at a speed that most of us as human beings, the human body cannot withstand that type of trauma if involved in a crash. And I think people have gotten so complacent, and the pandemic really did add to that complacency. And getting everybody educated on the dangers of driving, you get it, I get it, Regina gets it. But a lot of our drivers haven't been in this environment, and we have a lot of new drivers out there. We have some older drivers as well. So constant education, making it a priority, all of us who drive, and our own ownership. Regina said it, you know, we see that, they're doing that, but I don't do that. Well, guess what? We all have to take ownership in driving, because the most precious cargo that we transport every day, ourselves and our families.
Amen to that.
You know, A to B, you know, A to B, all of us do it. We've got to take ownership, slow down, pay attention to what's going on. The distracted driving, the devices that people feel so connected to, instantaneously want to give information, get information, doesn't belong in your hands while you're driving. Doesn't belong there. You can't do both. The human body cannot do both. That divided attention, on average, 55, 65 miles per hour, you will travel the distance of a football field, taking your eyes off the road ahead just to look and receive a text or send a text. That's alarming.
Yeah.
Alarming.
It can be. And it can be a sobering thing for those of us who have done it. Whether you take your eyes off the road for a text or even looking at, you know, the radio, or even if you're doing the safe driving thing where you do the quick glance before you change lanes, you'd be really surprised at what can happen literally in that split second before you, move over to the left or to the right. We are talking about traffic safety. We're talking about traffic violence, the speeding, the reckless driving, the problem in the DMV and across this nation, and also what can be done about it. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As I mentioned, of course, this is a problem for our entire region. And yesterday, Ward 6, D.C. Councilmember Charles Allen held a virtual public roundtable about the growing traffic dangers on the road. I spoke to him about it earlier today.
Well, I think we have seen in the district, but I think we've seen across the whole region, just an increase in dangerous driving, folks feeling like they're not even sure they can get from point A to point B safely and get back home again. Folks are driving recklessly and dangerously on our streets, and we've got to make sure that we've got the tool, the policies, and the enforcement in place to really get things to a much better place than where they are right now. We are seeing an increase in injuries, the loss of life. It's just unacceptable.
How do you enforce this issue without having the police chase down every, road raging traffic lawbreaker?
Well, there are going to be times when I think the police do have to be involved. Certainly, if you're talking about, an active act of violence, that's certainly something we're going to have to work with MPD or all of our law enforcement partners. But I think we also know that we could be much more effective with our automated traffic enforcement, with the cameras. I think we can be much more effective with our booting and towing. And here in the district, remember every day we've got tens of thousands of residents that aren't DC residents that are coming into our neighborhood streets. Some drive recklessly and dangerously, and we need to have tools, work with our partners in Maryland and in Virginia to have tools to hold folks accountable.
What's the thing that is most concerning to you as we've seen an apparent rise in speeding and reckless driving on DC streets?
I mean, for me, it's not just being a council member, but it's just being a dad. I mean, I've got two elementary school age kids, and I am quite knuckled holding their hands to walk the two blocks to school sometimes. Crossing the street feels dangerous. We have had very close run-ins with large vehicles with their bumpers ending up just inches from my child's own head. And then I hear the stories from my neighbors and residents that have lost loved ones. On the streets, people in crosswalks, it is scary. And drivers have got to realize that driving is a privilege. And we've got to have the tools in place that if you are not going to be able to drive carefully, slowly, and safely, you just might not have that privilege anymore.
That was DC Council Member from Ward 6, Charles Allen, discussing some of the issues that came up during his virtual public roundtable on yesterday. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pat, oh gosh, we've lost Pat. Pat from the DMV, give us a call back. So, Regina, you heard what the council member said, and I know the AAA has consistently been involved in, lobbying, governments to make streets safer. But what about enforcement? You're going to have law-abiding citizens as new laws come, whether we remember what happened with seatbelts, all the pushback with that. But now everybody, just about everybody wears seatbelts. But how do you stop this? What's the possibility of a long-term plan?
Well, that's an awesome and excellent question, Harold. It really is. And totally recognizing what the council member Allen spoke of. So as far as enforcement goes, and you're right, AAA, for the most part, is supportive of automated enforcement for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, we recognize that our police cannot be everywhere. They can't. We're supportive of automated enforcement with a very significant caveat, and that is that those cameras are being placed in areas with traffic safety as the foremost concern.
Regina, hold that point. I hate to interrupt you, but I'll let you finish on the other side. I've got to take a break. Also, Paul from Capitol Heights, we're going to be talking to you. You're just calling in. And Colonel Anderson, I want your thoughts as well. We're talking about traffic violence, safety on the roads. Why is this happening? What can be done about it? The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. We'll be back on Sirius XM in this conversation in just a bit. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about dangerous driving on the roadways. What can be done about it? My guests are Regina Ali, Public and Government Affairs Manager for AAA, and Colonel Kevin Anderson, Chief of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. We'd really be interested in hearing what you have to say about fixing this issue at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Regina, you were talking about some of the passive enforcement initiatives. Please continue your point.
Sure. So overall, I was just saying that AAA overall does actually support. We support automated enforcement, primarily recognizing that law enforcement officers have quite a few responsibilities and that they cannot be everywhere at once. But we also recognize that in many instances, and we've seen this in other parts of the country, that automated enforcement was really just being used as, you know, sort of a cash cow, and we don't want that. We don't even want the perception of that. And ideally, when these automated enforcement measures work as they're supposed to, what we're supposed to see is a change in driver behavior. So you want to see that change, you want to see the behavior change, and then people slow down, be it in a school zone or a neighborhood or a work zone. Not to have them slow down and then speed up again when they're past that camera, so to speak. So again, I just think a lot of this is common sense, which doesn't really seem to be that common anymore, but it's common sense. I mean, like you said, it's a privilege to drive, not only in D.C., not only in the DMV, not only in Maryland. It is a privilege to drive, no matter where you are. It's not a God-given right. It's a privilege, and we all sort of have to take some level of responsibility and ownership for what we do when we get behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Colonel, what should someone do when they see chaos and foolishness in the form of driving on the highways, which, and it seems Friday nights, I-95, the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, it's just crazy. But I would think that even when I see it, even if I were to make a call, that if that person is speeding and weaving in and out of traffic, they're gone and done.
Sure. Well, I can tell you, first of all, the first thing you don't do is engage, because you know that feeling you get when you see somebody driving aggressively in and out of traffic, tailgating. They may be tailgating you. Some instances we see people engage in their own behavior that escalates what's occurring instead of allowing that person to continue on. And if you're safe to do so, call 911 if it's that egregious. Or in Maryland, pound 77. Pound 77 will go to local state police barracks or the MDTA police at our local detachments. You give us a description of the vehicle, our dispatchers will send that information out. We're not always successful, but in many cases, we are successful in locating those vehicles and observing the same behavior that the citizen reported, so we can take action then.
I never thought about that, because I was always thinking, as I just said, by the time I see it, and just this past Friday coming home, I think I saw an example of some of the most frightening driving on 295, and I know this is not an MDTA thing, this is a park police thing or Maryland State Police thing, but north of 100, driving up the shoulder through the on-ramp, weaving in and out of traffic, and I was just expecting to see a mini mushroom cloud ahead of me because of the way this person was driving, and it was really some of the most frightening driving I've seen ever. And you know, I was talking to my buddies about this today, and I was asking, you know, all of us are in our 50s, and I was saying, did we drive like this when we were in our 20s? And he recounted to me, he said, yeah, one time, but right. And But even when that happened, and he said, yeah, he reminded me, he said, yeah, I need to slow this down. And we were, you know, dumb 20-year-olds. But
yes, and you know what? That's spot on, right? You recognize in life, and this is a life issue, we all drive, we're all mobile or in a vehicle. You don't get caught doing dumb things if you don't do dumb things. And one of the dumbest things you can do is just what you talked about, driving that way. That person may not have their anomaly until they're involved in a crash that is a serious injury or a fatality. But thankfully, you or your friends had somebody say, you just can't do this stuff. Yeah. We all need to take ownership of that. That's the reality. If you're a true friend, tell somebody, why are we driving this way?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no sense in it. No sense in it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Paul calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Paul. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I have 3 points. I like that one point he just made. I always tell myself, don't do things that you got to lie about. I had my license since the 80s. I have lost it a few times for being reckless. So I corrected that. You know, I corrected my way of thinking. Now, I have 3 bullet points here.
Real quick, go ahead.
Real quick. Okay, one of my bullet points is car jail. One thing I do know, people do not like to lose their car. So if they find a way to take the car, not suspend the license, just take the car for 30 days. People need the car. But if they know their car is going to be put in a car jail, they're going to change the way they act in behind that wheel. My second point is, why aren't motorists that's driving around with damaged vehicles being questioned to why their car is damaged and to check their insurance, proof of insurance? And also, because if your car gets damaged after your inspection, it needs to be reinspected to make sure it's okay to be on the road. But I'm watching drivers drive around with damaged vehicles, and an officer can pull them over and ask them, why is the car damaged? Can you show me your proof of insurance? Because usually if your car gets damaged, you take it and get it repaired. So some of them cars can be taken off the road.
And your third point?
And my third point was, maybe I only had two. Maybe
okay.
It was just car damage. Sure.
Well, Paul, thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate your phone call. So, Regina, car jail. I think that's interesting. Now, pulling someone over for damage to their car, I think that's a little dicey, particularly for people of color. That's a whole different conversation. For Paul, we may need to rethink that second one. But, you know, the car jail thing, Regina,
Well, basically what he is suggesting, if I understand Paul correctly, is that, you know, for these dangerous behaviors that, you know, you basically impound for, it's the same as a car jail, that you impound the vehicle of a driver. I think that's a slippery slope in some ways, but I guess it depends on what the offense is.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in Maryland, for instance, there was legislation this past session that did not make it out of committee. There was definitely a House version, I believe a Senate version as well, to kind of address these illegal street racing and these, you know, exhibition racings that we see, and make it more of a statewide ban, to give police more enforcement powers, to give more authority to, in fact, impound or seize a vehicle in those particular instances. And the legislature did not move on that particular. I don't know if time just kind of ran out or what, but I know that some legislators will be looking to bring that back next year. So it's certainly an interesting point. I would think that it would depend, but to your to the other point about damaged vehicles and proof of insurance, you absolutely are correct. There is actually a movement, not just here in the DMV, but across the country, just because of some things that we've seen over the years with law enforcement and with people of color, to somewhat limit the engagement for more minor infractions. which is a little bit of the opposite of perhaps what Paul was suggesting. What do you think, Colonel Anderson?
Well, to his first point, I did want to mention in the state of Maryland a few years ago, we did have some success with that piece of legislation, and that was the designated special event zone, such in Ocean City during the car rallies. And being part of that, it was just a wonderful opportunity that anybody that came down, participated in a road race or had certain violations, they were not only cited and some were arrested, and their vehicles were impounded. So they did face hefty fines. Now, making that a more broad approach, that could be an option. I think there's a hurdle there with our legislature, but that definitely would have some additional teeth to it. There's no doubt. As far as traffic enforcement for minimum equipment standards, certainly in the state of Maryland, we are permitted to do that. But you're right. It has to be applied based on probable cause of the actual violation, not just because somebody has a dent in the side of their vehicle or it just doesn't look right. That's not probable cause. You know, probable cause is lights that are affected, that safety equipment, busted windshields, busted wing windows, those type of things. And certainly when we do make stops, we are asking for driver's license registration and proof of insurance, because we have seen that violation increase over the years where motorists have not kept up with their automobile insurance. So a very important thing to do.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about reckless driving across the DMV, sometimes ending with severe injury and in some cases even death. Why is this happening? What can be done about it? Do our listeners have a long-term plan suggestion for helping to make the streets safer for the people behind the wheel? Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Regina, I know that we're going to lose you in a minute or so, but before I take a quick break, I'd like to have you share some final thoughts about where we're going with this traffic violence issue.
Well, I would love to say that we're not seeing it, but we are seeing it. So, you know, there have been increased incidents of road rage, again, not only in the DMV, but across the country. I believe in Philly last weekend there was an incident where a motorcyclist shot a motorist. So, unfortunately, and again, I mean, you can't legislate common sense. You can't legislate good behavior. You can't. It's incumbent upon all of us as drivers to be responsible when we get behind the wheel of a vehicle, to stay focused, to not drive distracted, to not drive impaired, to not drive under the influence of alcohol or anything else. You can have the best laws on the book. I mean, like you mentioned with the whole incident with the tragic loss of life with six families forever impacted because someone crashed into an active work zone. So there are lots of things that are going on in Maryland. I know Lieutenant Governor Miller today just announced that the work zone safety work group that she and Governor Moore have established will begin working to see how we can help to make work zones safer and things like that. So there's certainly not a lack of willpower by our legislators, our leaders, but I do think it very much comes back to the drivers being responsible. So if you're speeding or you're distracted, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention to slow down and or move over. You're not. If you're looking down at your phone and not at the road, you're distracted. Your focus is not on what it should be, which is, like Colonel Anderson said, when you're driving, that's it. That's what you should be focusing on.
Yeah.
Taking your eyes off the road for even a few seconds can certainly be deadly. It can.
We're going to take a break. Regina Ali with AAA, thank you so much for sharing your insight and your expertise in this regard. And hopefully this conversation and more to come will make things safer. Again, Regina Ali, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and want your listeners to be safe over this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Lots of cars on the road.
Absolutely. We're going to take a really short break, but when we come back, more conversation about road safety with Colonel Kevin Anderson, Chief of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police. Also, what's going on with these dirt bikes and people performing so-called donuts? It's crazy. We're talking about it all in just a bit. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about dangerous driving on the roadways. What can be done about it? We continue our conversation with Colonel Kevin Anderson, Chief of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police. First of all, Colonel, one of the things that I really find interesting is, you know, I said earlier when I was in my 20s and with my buddies and we were young and dumb and doing this, but you don't have to be young and dumb and a guy to do this. We're seeing all kinds of people recklessly driving on the road. Would you agree that there is just no one single profile of the people who are breaking the law?
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. We do have a lot of inexperienced drivers out there. There's no doubt. It doesn't matter your race, your gender. Inexperience leads to making unfortunate mistakes and decisions. But what I think it is, candidly, is getting back to ownership and really identifying, making highway safety a priority, not just from the government perspective, not just from the law enforcement perspective, but our ownership when we get behind the wheel of a car. Do we truly understand what that means? We're in control of a very heavy piece of equipment. And again, I always say we are transporting the most precious cargo, human beings. So it doesn't have a demographic that you can attach to it. It's about refocusing everybody who drives on this important topic.
Lisa, calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, I'm Harold and guests. I see a lot of souped-up cars, like those Dodge Chargers and things like that, and I know it's lots of motor, different types of vehicles, but those mainly, I think people just feel empowered as if they're in that Fast and Furious movie. So, like, insurance-wise, if people are buying, and I know it's, you know, kind of unfair to people who do drive safely, but maybe those insurance for such cars should be through the roof. And then if you have a teenager who are driving such cars and their stuff, and like the kid who almost that accident with the officer, their parents ought to be fined heavily for getting a kid such a vehicle. They're not ready for that type of power. That's just my thought process.
Well, Lisa, let me help you with this, and I think the Colonel will also agree and may even get a chuckle out of it. Believe it or not, those new souped-up Dodge Challengers and the like, the 0 to 60 time is just under 4 seconds. Would you believe that the Tesla Model S, the 0 to 60 time is 2.3 seconds.
Yeah, Harold, I did get a chuckle because I knew that's where you were going to go because I was immediately thinking the same thing.
Yeah, but those electric cars are the fastest cars on the road.
Yeah, they're incredible, incredible. Yeah, incredible acceleration.
Yeah, and not to ridicule your point, Lisa, because you do make a really important point that, yeah, we've got some muscle cars out there and some muscle guys and gals behind the wheel that are doing it, and they like those things to rumble. But, you know, the whole physics of electric cars is those cars are, you know, from the time they hit the accelerator until you've got, you know, the wheels turning, electricity moves at the speed of light. That's why they're so much faster as opposed to those Challengers. Those are mechanical. But it even if you're riding an old hoopty like me, you know, you got to, yeah, it's paid for, so I'm happy about that. But so let me thump my chest there. But, you know, but I will say, you know, to your point, Lisa, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said a couple of months ago when she was questioned about the speed cameras and, you know, the criticism was that they were cash cows. And I remember this. I remember this all for the rest of my life. She said, if you don't like speed cameras, slow down.
There you go.
And I've and driving out of here on South Dakota Avenue, just above, you know, I think hitting people in the pocket, and I've had, you know, two speed camera tickets since March. That was $200. That's fine dining for two.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and I know, Colonel, you enforce the laws, you don't make the laws, but you're not blind to the fact that when people's pockets are picked because of their irresponsible behavior, sometimes it'll turn them around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, Harold, that you say that. At a press conference today, I just talked about it, and somebody was talking about speed cameras again. And they do have a position in highway traffic safety. There's no doubt about it. But I can tell you, I would much rather talk to folks, educate them, talk to them about the dangers of this, and get their mindset changed than hit everybody in the pocketbook. Because a lot of folks, this is not an intentional act. This is their mind. I got to get to A to B, and I got to get there as fast as I can. They forget the safety component. And when we make those stops, and some people do get written warnings as opposed to citations, that does happen. But the reality is we change that behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa, thank you so much for your input. Challenger or Tesla, we just got to slow it on down. Thank you so much. The other thing I did want to talk about some of the things that people are thinking about when they're doing it, and certainly your colleagues at the Maryland State Police, in Baltimore City, and in, you know, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel. This is less a D.C. thing. We're talking about these people who do these donuts. This is one of those suburban activities where they're...
Sure.
How do you deal with those kinds of things? Because, again, you know, one minute you see them and one minute you don't. And if anyone is caught doing it, what might the offense, what's the offense called? Is it reckless driving? What is that?
Sure. It depends on the totality of it. And just a quick example, you might see a few at parking lots, doing donuts, that type of stuff, participating in a speed contest. So there's a whole myriad of laws that they could be violating, from reckless driving, negligent driving, participating in a speed contest. And they all have hefty fines and penalties to them. And even in some cases, it may even transcend into a criminal nuisance or violation of local ordinances, depending on where they are and what area of the state. So it really does depend on the circumstances. But yes, we have seen those pop-up car rallies and taking over parking lots, definitely in those areas.
And I think the big thing, and this is an issue in D.C., it's an issue in Baltimore City, and places in between, and it just seems that it's something that no one can get a handle on. It's the dirt bikes and the ATVs. Any discussion about how to address that at all?
So, yeah, it's a very deep discussion every year around this time as we get through the summer months. I know the Baltimore Police Department has a specific unit dedicated to focusing on this, and they've been doing a bang-up job. I think I recently read they made 11 arrests related to that for other, you know, stolen vehicles, that type of stuff related to it, and also the reckless endangerment of those motorists traveling that way. So there's those discussions. There's nothing ever easy about it because it involves a lot of moving pieces, And for law enforcement to react in a traditional way, whether being involved in a pursuit, makes it very difficult. But there's a lot of follow-up investigations that can be done. Not everything is the high-speed car chases. Sometimes it takes maybe aviation support, finding out where somebody goes and where they abandon a motorcycle, and then where did they go on foot, and tracking that down. And again, getting cops out on the with the citizens and ask them questions. What do you see? What do you know? And doing those follow-up investigations. A lot of that stuff has to happen, and it takes time. It's not just an easy just put on your lights and pull somebody over, because we know they don't stop.
Yeah, and they move. They're much more nimble on the roads than a police cruiser, or arguably even, you know, the Harley Davidsons that, you know, the police are using. So difficult to catch them while they're doing it.
Harold, to that point, I'm sorry, one last thing.
Sure, go ahead.
They're so great in the partnership of that, because they are part of that nuisance. They feel it too. They're in their communities. You know, so they know who these folks are a lot of times, or they know friends of these folks. So they give us a lot of great information that we can follow up on, and that's always worthwhile as well.
In this last minute, Colonel, what can we expect to see this weekend as far as enforcement? What are you and your other law enforcement partners planning for Maryland?
Sure. So around the state, we have a great coordinated effort by all of our law enforcement partners. You're going to see increased visibility, what we call our high visibility enforcement. That includes DMS, you know, dynamic messaging signs, social media posts, and enforcement. You'll see officers in unmarked vehicles, non-conventional vehicles, motorcycles, and even marked cars. We're going to be out enforcing aggressive drivers, speeding. We're going to be enforcing distracted driving laws. And we're certainly going to be out there looking for impaired drivers. We know this is the unofficial kickoff to summer. And as we get through this summer holiday season that we're upon, we see an increase of impaired drivers on Friday nights, Saturday nights, and as extended holiday weekend into Sundays. So we'll be specifically targeting impaired drivers.
Yeah. Colonel Kevin Anderson, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate your time, sir. Be careful on the roads as you participate in this enforcement effort. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Harold, and thanks for bringing this important attention to everybody, because it is a priority and we need to be on top of it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, of course, we want to thank Regina Ali from AAA for participating in the conversation. Hey, look, slow down. It'll be there when you get there. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, May 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.